astound me. Time is fleeting. But welcome to our podcast show.
Jump to the left. 3, 2, 1, ghost. I won't get sued for that, I don't think. Hey everybody, welcome to 3, 2, 1, ghost. I'm your host with a silent G, Kyle, and as always, joined by my pal Natalie. Hey Natalie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Really excited to, I always say I'm excited to talk about the movie we're talking about, which I mean is always generally true, but I feel like I'm especially excited to talk about this one. Hey everybody, we are talking about the 1975 Rocky Horror Picture Show, based on the stage show The Rocky Horror Show, written and directed by Richard O'Brien. Now Richard O'Brien wrote all the stuff for the Rocky Horror Show, and then Jim Sharman, there we go, directed the film. So the only other time we've done a musical so far is a live musical based on a movie we love. Hey y'all, listen to our episode on Screamed, the unofficial musical parody, which is probably my favorite scary musical. I don't know. But when we were talking about different musicals and spooky musicals that we liked, did we mention this one? I don't think we did.
And the reason why I didn't bring it up is because I had only seen it two times before. So I have trouble saying something is my favorite if I've only seen it twice and it was like 12 years ago.
This cast is pretty fucking stacked. You got a lot of great people. Of course, Tim Curry.
Industry legend.
Have we said it yet? Industry legend. Absolutely.
This is the first movie that we've done with Tim Curry, which feels wrong.
It feels very wrong. Right. Now, his horror credits are a little murky, right?
But I would count Clue.
100%. And I think we absolutely should do Clue. It's one of my favorites.
I know.
Which makes it's funny now because I know Tim Curry best from Clue. Clue's been my favorite movie, top three, if not my favorite movie since I watched it the first time. And I want to say first or second grade, probably. I remember trying to, my friend and I trying, because we were obsessed with this movie and obsessed with like mysteries and murder mysteries and detective stories and things like that. So all kind of funneled into my love of horror too, especially, slasher murder mysteries, things like that. But I just remember in third grade or something, we could one day of the year, we could watch a movie in class, and we petitioned really hard to watch Clue, and
they were like, there's so much murder.
Not even just the murder, there's a lot of jokes that go way over a seven-year-old's head. Shout out to Miss Hester, Scripps Ranch Elementary School, if she's still around. I don't think so, it was a long time ago, 30 years ago. So she's very kind. She was like, I'm gonna have my son, I think his name was Hugh, maybe, I don't know how I know
Hugh,
that
Hugh Hester.
No, that can't be right.
That's a rough name.
Sounds a lot like Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hester does. Yeah, so but she was like, well, I'm gonna let my son watch this movie, he's probably like 20 or something, in his 20s or whatever, and then he'll report back to me and let me know. And he must have watched that movie and been like, absolutely not. Don't put this in front of 30 children. But funny thing about Clue, though, is that there's a little bit of overlap between this movie and Clue. Only in the sense where you've got Tim Curry hamming it up in a haunted castle during a storm with a bunch of mean but probably secretly very sweet German shepherds running around the place. So I dig it. But yeah, geez, you got Tim Curry. You've got Susan Sarandon, who...
I love her.
Yeah, I love Susan Sarandon, and she kills it in this too. She's fantastic. Barry Bostwick, who... Honestly, the only other thing I think I've seen Barry Bostwick in is that there was a late 90s sitcom with Michael J. Fox called Spin City. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
He plays the mayor.
Spin City.
That also had a really good cast, too.
He's 6'4". Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, fuck, he's a foot taller than like everybody else in the cast.
Other than maybe Tim Curry, who is wearing platform heels, so...
Barry Bostwick also, he has very tall underwear for a tall man. I felt like that.
I have notes about his underwear, of course.
as soon as they took his clothes off and him in his tidy whities and just seeing that fucking package, I was like, Natalie is just fucking hyper focused on this right now and is probably freeze framed on his dick.
For the record, I definitely didn't pause or rewind in that moment.
And then Richard O'Brien, who I mentioned a lot, kind of the brainchild behind all of this, playing Riff Raff, who...
He's pretty fun.
Yeah, he's really fun. I think if I were to write myself into the movie, like, you know, write myself into this story, I'd be like, yeah, I'd probably want to play Riff Raff. He's fun.
Yeah. His singing is really fun, too. I love the way he sings.
Yeah, me too.
And speaks. Just everything vocally coming from him is great.
Yes, he's got this thing going on.
I love it.
I don't know where else to place that kind of voice, but it's good. I dig it.
It just sounds spooky and fun.
And then Meatloaf is in this movie.
Yes, he is. Him.
Dude, Eddie's great.
I have a lot of questions about Eddie and where he fits in.
I have a lot of questions about a lot of aspects of this movie, where any of this fits in.
I was kind of afraid to cover this movie because people who like this movie love this movie.
Yeah.
And I've only seen it now 4 times ever. And so I still have so many questions about the plot. So if we can't figure it out together, we might need help.
Yeah, please. We're going to need your help in the comments to clarify some things for a couple well-meaning but talkative idiots who... I've seen this movie, I don't know, yeah, probably maybe even less than that. But before we get into that, maybe let's back up a little bit. And if you could share with me, do you remember the first time you watched this movie?
Yes.
How was that?
It was an experience. So I saw this movie, I think it was 11 or 12 years ago. And I made the mistake of seeing it in the theater. It had like a theater release. So I was aware of what would happen if you've like gone to a theater and seen this movie. Now,
you didn't bring your bag of rice or your flashlight or your newspaper to put over your head all the things.
I am a total nerd when it comes to a lot of things, but what I am not is a theater kid. Bless you all if you're listening. That shit is obnoxious. It is fucking obnoxious because when you're trying to watch a film and people, it was like the premiere of Stab, like you could not focus on that movie. So I watched it in the theater. I saw it with my husband and I just remember being like, I did not catch any of that because I was so distracted by the craziness that was happening in the theater. So I watched it again like 6 months later at home. And I was like, okay, it was quite fun, but I actually enjoyed it the most when I watched it this week to talk about it. Still though, I really don't understand a lot of what's going on. I think I understand like the subtext and all of those things, but the actual plot, so many questions. So that's been my experience with this movie. And there's like, because there's people that I love in it, like that brings a lot of magic to it. I also love anything that is like androgynous and sexually charged. Like And y'all know, like, I love the nudity, like, I love all of it. So, like, that makes me very drawn to a movie like this. So, I quite enjoyed it. But that was what my first experience was watching this movie. When did you've seen it less than 4 times, you said?
Probably. Oh yeah, everybody. The last week has just been nothing but fucking thirst texts about fucking Tim Curry. And I'm like, okay, Nat, I get it. I get
It's
it.
already, it's written down too. We're gonna go through all of it.
I love it. Yeah, you know, the first time I saw it, I believe was also at a movie theater, regretfully. Because, okay, if it's your first time watching the movie, you're like, wait, what? You need somebody to like coach you on what to do, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll do this. And I it's funny because I went with my girlfriend at the time in high school, who was very involved in theater and all of those theater kids
Oh,
that all
Jesus.
went. So it was just a lot of energy that I was
You're just caught in the middle.
just caught in the middle, just caught in that time warp. And I mean, I think the movie is, and honestly, that is the last time I saw the movie from front to back until yesterday, where I watched it last night and then watched most of it again today. So yes, three total.
Here's my thing with a movie like this, and also like the magnetism of Tim Curry, like every time he makes eye contact with the camera. Like you miss that shit when people are like yelling around you in the theater. It's so distracting. So, you know what? I know it's not gonna help, but you know what? Maybe y'all should cut that shit out. Like, let people enjoy a movie. Like, I know you're enjoying the movie, but new people aren't enjoying the movie. And if you love it so fucking much, you should want other people to love it. So calm down and focus on Tim Curry.
It's like an overly complicated drinking game, but you don't get to drink, you know? So
Kinda.
now, but hey, you know, people are fucking have fun with that shit. And that seems to be a lot of the appeal of the movie is that interactive bit, right? Which I don't know if they, and again, sorry, everybody, I don't know if they do the same like in the live show. I don't even know the last time the live show occurred. I'm not sure, but at least the movie, is the longest running theatrical run in history. It's been going since its release up until through this year, 2024. But a lot of that, of course, as we kind of mentioned, are these midnight showings where you have a lot of people coming and doing all the things. I had it in a tab somewhere, all the rules, but and I'll remember some of them from the beginning, but we'll see how we go. It's not integral to this piece here, to what we're doing. But this movie was a lot of fun watching it. I really like it a lot. I don't know if I thoroughly understood how fun this movie was then, you know, which I mean, maybe a lot of people too, because I mean, at least like when the movie originally came out, it didn't do very well.
Which kind of, so this movie came out in 1975, which is actually shocking to me. I thought I knew it was 70s, but I actually thought it was 79, so a little closer to the 80s. And also, this is our first movie that we've covered in the 70s. So that's kind of fun. But it feels very, very ahead of its time for how like outdated some of the things in it are. But I mean, it was 1975. So like this is a very progressive. I mean, you have a gay sex scene. Like it's very progressive. So for 1975, I can see why it didn't do well. And even like when you watch this movie now and you see women with like a lot of cleavage and people in their underwear and things like that, like, you know, the way that they react when they like walk into that party is how most people probably would react walking into that party, even though it's like full camp and like overacting and all of that. Like it feels more tame watching it now than it would have. Like I can't imagine an audience in 1975 watching this other than like the gay community, like really like watching it and being like, oh, like this is amazing. Like your normal Susan Sarandon, you know, like or Janet probably would not have loved this.
I mean, but she gets on board really
oh
quickly,
yeah she
though.
does
Very quickly. It does not take much convincing on Janet's part.
No.
Yeah, I was curious how this movie has been received in the years since. And I mean, like, there were a time where, like, medical scientists were using words like transvestite,
and the community as well.
So that's, and I was curious, yeah, just kind of see, like, how is this kind of, you know, how is it being received now? And I think it's received well, and especially when you frame it as it's like a parody of this gay panic, a parody of not only just like, you know, the trappings of like B movies and being in and all of the fabulous aspects of those, you know, B science fiction movies. But then also just this idea of this man is, you know, Frankenfurter is this completely foreign space alien who is coming to, you know, create, you know, an army of gay men to fuck and, you know, corrupt your sweet, you know, hetero boring couples. Right. So when you frame it, when you think of it that way, and if they're in on the joke and people watching it are in on the joke, 100%. So that's where I'm like, I think you're right. This movie is really bold and takes some great swings. And, you know, even if it does seem a little tame now by today's standards in certain aspects, we're still like in 2024, like still seeing some really just, you know, frightening discourse, you know, when it comes to trans people, you know, especially in this country. And it's like, at first I was like, ooh, is this a great portrayal of, you know, this predatory, you know, hey, pretty rapey, you know, character? But you know, I don't know. So at least
I think that, you know, again, not like knowing this movie super well, but having watched it, I watched it on Sunday and then I watched it today, so like within a couple days of each other. And when I was watching it, I was like, wow. I was like, if you look at this without the lens of camp and not being in on the joke, yes, you have an extremely problematic character who's doing all the things that like people who are afraid of transgender people think that they would do. And that is, in my mind, the whole point. Like, it is this exaggerated, over the top version of it. Like, that is so fucking off the wall. And maybe that's why it doesn't make sense. Like, the aliens and like all of these things, it's like, this shit doesn't make sense because that's not what's happening. Like, no one's corrupting other people. No one's trying to take this heteronormative couple and make them into like sex crazed maniacs. Like, you know, that's not what's happening. So that's what I really enjoy about this movie, is that this like really exaggerated panic that people have, and this fear that's so unrealistic and just over the top. And they took it and made it something fun and like campy and beautiful. And like Tim Curry's character, although just wild and you know, having all these flaws, like, what a beautiful like character, and just like so like just like it, hypnotizing. Like, there I go with Tim Curry, I'm like getting flushed.
I love it. And then just thinking about, you know, musicals in general, I think it also clicked with me. Because I've said before that I've never really found myself to be entirely a huge fan of musicals, you know. I think I brought that up in the Screamed episode. But, you know, I think what I realize is I don't like earnestness and joy. And that's an issue with me.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kyle problem.
And musicals are just chock full of all of that, and it's just too much for me, and I cringe a lot. And again, probably something internal I need to check. But when I'm watching this, I'm like, this is fucking great. There's no emotions involved. This shit's unhinged. Like, this is just fucking wild, and the songs are great, and the plot is so just secondary, you know,
yes,
that it's the set pieces and the characters and even, you know, this whatever the message they want to portray here. Like, I don't know. So that's where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, it's not necessarily just musicals I don't like, because I loved this, you know, and I gravitate a lot towards, you know, this kind of just real, just bonkers, irreverent type of stuff. So, hey, y'all, if you have any musicals in that regard to recommend to me, maybe I'll check it out, but I'll do what I can.
I actually agree. While I enjoy most musicals that I watch, but I don't seek them out. And oftentimes it's actually like a turnoff for me to, like, if it's a film, at least, like, I've been to see very few like live shows. And when people break out into song, like you said, if it's like way too positive and fun and inspiring, I'm also the same way where it kind of like, I'm like, oh, like, okay, like, get off the fucking table. Like, nobody needed you to put your dirty shoes on here just to sing your song. But when it comes to, like, I think of Chicago, because the songs are a little bit dark, they're a little bit sassy, they're about murder. Like, that to me is a fun musical, because I like the like emotional range that's happening. I don't like it to be too lovey-dovey. I don't like it to be too happy. So this one is really fun. And I think I like most of the songs. I think there's only one song that I actually am like, eh, but yeah.
Dang, we'll go through them. So I'm curious to see which ones they are. Dang, you want to just hop right into the movie?
Let's do it.
Oh, I hope it wasn't this song that you didn't like, because I liked
it. The first one? So, no, I really like it. The opening song?
Science fiction double feature. Yeah. Those
a lot of references.
I love that a movie. Yeah, a lot of references. Did you understand any of them?
Some of them.
Okay.
Yeah, some of them. Other ones I looked up. Like, I was like, how many references are in this after? Because I realized there were references, and I was like, oh, I should listen to this again. Because on top of watching the movie, I also listened to the soundtrack. Ooh, I think like two or three times. I like played it while I was working. So of course I had it. The only one that sticks in my fucking head is the time warp. And I don't know a lot of the words except for when they're explaining the dance. So I was like just looping that in my head.
Yeah, this opening, I mean, and that was always very, and I think it was on the cover too. It's always an iconic look, was just the lips, you know.
Love a mouth and lipstick up close like that. Ugh,
love it.
Love it.
It reminds me of the Rolling Stones logo too. Yeah. So I was kind of like conflated the two, or always connected those two. And I'm sure, you know, it's not much of a reach. And I also like a song that starts the movie that kind of just gives you a basis of like, this is what this movie is going to be about.
Yeah.
And then here's the credits. Here are the people that you know that are in it. You could turn it off if you wanted to. This is going to be a fun little space story with someone named Brad and someone named Janet. And I think maybe some androids or some Frankenstein monsters are going to, you know, fight each other. And yeah, things will get weird.
Yeah. And I like their little titles that they all have, like a scientist, a heroine, a hero. Like, you know, they give them all those little parentheses titles.
Right. Which, except for the criminologist, who's just criminologist, right?
No, he's
Charles Gray. That's it. The movie opens on Ralph and Betty's wedding. So, hey, everybody, if you have your rice, throw that at the screen. I'm not going to do that for every single one. Sorry, y'all. But of course, you probably will, you know, you notice there's all the cast members.
Is it all of them, or is it just Tim Curry and then the ones who, Columbia, Riff Raff, and Magenta? Those were the four that I noticed.
I wouldn't be surprised if the rest of them were like the ensemble people later on. I mean I wouldn't be shocked, like, during the live show if that's how they did it, you know.
Yeah.
And then Riff Raff and Magenta that are in that they're doing their like American Gothic situation, you that's know cute. With like the pitchfork. That was very cute. And then it also is very strange to see Tim Curry without makeup.
he looks very normal.
Yeah,
gorgeous, very, as always, though.
Very beautiful canvas to work on. I feel like he's got.
He's, you know, 29 in this movie. I did the math. He's young.
Good for him. Yeah, and then, you know, so then we're introduced to Brad and Janet, who are friends of Ralph and Betty. Ralph's talking to Brad and being like, really weird. It's just the way he's talking to him. I don't know if I can exp like I don't want to try and like mimic it. I don't
No,
know.
please
I was
don't.
like, but I was like, do you all actually know each other? Is this real life? Is
I think that's the point, though.
are
Like,
you being held hostage and do you need help?
All of the conversations and all of the acting is so exaggerated and over the top. It's really fun.
And I don't know if this is like just a faux pas, like as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to get your thoughts, but
okay.
I don't like people who propose at other people's weddings. What the fuck is that about?
I absolutely agree. I don't think you should propose at someone else's wedding. I get that the wedding was over and the bride and groom had already left, but like, it just feels weird. Like you're stealing someone else's day. Do you think he would have done it if she didn't catch the bouquet?
I mean, he had the ring already, so
but
I
wouldn't
mean,
it have been funny? He's like, damn, she didn't catch it. I'm gonna have to wait
yeah,
to
I
the
guess it's
next
not
wedding.
happening. Yeah, fuck.
Did you notice what the side of the car said?
No, what did it say?
It said, wait till tonight. She got hers, now he'll get his. So like the wedding was for her and the sex is for him, which is like super like gender stereotypes, which I thought was kind of fun.
Maybe they were talking about, I don't know, something else she received, and then he
Nope.
will.
They're definitely talking about the wedding day and
Or
him getting
maybe,
fucked tonight.
and then all of that, you had a beautiful spot in the graveyard to propose, and then you leave the graveyard to propose in front of the church. What's that about? At least make it spooky. Come
Yeah,
on.
like give us something.
And who's getting married in November in Denton, Ohio? I just feel like it's not a popular month for marriages. I guess it's probably cheap to, you know.
Schedule it when you can
Yeah.
fit it in, you know?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Ralph's already like, I know when I can fit it in. It's tonight. Thank you.
I do enjoy there's one I feel like Brad has a lot of good, like fun, subtle moves in his choreography. This one's not so subtle, but I really love when they go to kiss and he just like turns away and starts singing again.
Yeah.
That's super fun. I love shit like that.
I like when they're still singing inside the chapel. And like clearly after this wedding, they have a funeral scheduled right
Yeah, they're setting
afterwards.
up the funeral.
I love
That's
that.
So great. Yeah. That's super fun too. Yeah, there's a lot of like fun things in the background. Like if you're paying attention, you see a lot of like there. I mean, I guess not subtle might not be the right word, but like, you know, the first time I watched this, I didn't notice a lot of those little things.
And then that's when, what's the song? Damn It, Janet. Which is pretty, yeah. This is
That's
a fun
fun.
one. I like it. We switch over to the criminologist, Charles Gray, an expert, basically describing like, the little do these fucking kids know. Is
These
they're in
idiots.
for a, they're in for a pretty wild ride. And the only thing I could focus on is he is dressed especially just elegantly, you know,
He's great.
like he's great. He's got the suit. He's got that. What do you call that? Like, it's not a scarf and it's not like a.
I don't know what that's called. I know very little about men's like formal attire.
Me neither, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I like his. He sounds very like old timey documentary, like in the way that he speaks, which is really fun, even when he's talking about the time warp.
Yeah. So, of course, as you do, you know, hey, we're getting married. Who do we go call up and see? Our biology teacher from high school.
Naturally.
Naturally, we got to let him know. How old are Brad and Janet supposed to be?
I think they're supposed to be pretty young. They refer to them as kids like a couple times in this movie. So I would say like they're probably early 20s.
Because isn't he like I couldn't tell if his jacket is still like if he's wearing like a high school jacket.
I
I
mean,
thought it's the patch on it said something high school on
maybe
it. But man,
maybe they're like 18, 19.
They could be. So they're like, we gotta go see this guy right fucking now. Let's go. Let him know we're engaged.
It's urgent.
Yeah, so they're driving through the rain, car breaks down. Fuck. And then Brad. Just fucking Brad. And don't get me wrong, I watching this movie, I I relate a lot to Brad. Poor guy. His demeanor, his Aushucks demeanor really resonates a lot with me.
Yeah, yeah. We love the Aushucks demeanor.
And he's like, the wheel pops on their car. And he's like, well, I saw some spooky ass castle back here. Let's go talk to them and see if they have a fucking phone.
I know. I love that he says that, that he's like, oh, I saw a castle a little ways back. And you're like, what? No, you don't go back to the castle.
First of all, how many castles are in Ohio? If he's still in, they're still in Ohio at this point, there might be.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, it's pouring down rain. You see a fucking castle. You're there with your fucking girlfriend or whatever. Like, you're asking Beyonce. To be murdered. Oh, yeah, I know. I was never that type where the second I got engaged, I just kept being like, my fiance.
I hate that word.
Know? Yeah, I never did that.
We're not fucking French. What are y'all doing?
This is my lady accomplice until...
My lady accomplice.
Until she becomes... That's dumb, too. Until she becomes my ex-girlfriend, and then she'll be my ex-girlfriend because she's no longer my girlfriend. She's my wife. So I also call her...
You should introduce your wife as your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. I know that's not my joke. I know I've gotten that somewhere.
She'll love it. That's a winner.
Yeah. I love the motorcycle. You see the motorcycles because apparently everybody just only travels by motorcycle that lives in this house.
I know. I was wondering. I was like, what's up with the motorcycle?
Just they look cool.
That's just what they drive.
Yeah. But I just, life's pretty cheap for that type. Janet, you know, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how people felt. Maybe this movie was also, you know, a parody on, you know, motorcycle biker panic. I don't know.
Yeah, could be all the things. They weren't panicked about was haunted ass looking castles and Halloween ass looking decorations that say enter at your own risk on the gate. It looks like you find that shit at Spirit Halloween. Would you want to go into that castle if it said enter at your own risk? Or would that make it more intriguing?
I'd need a little more information on this. Mm-hmm. I feel like, but gosh, you know, you're in the 70s. You don't have any really other options if you're stuck out there.
And it looks spooky from the outside. Like, it's beautiful, but very spooky. So I was actually kind of disappointed in Janet when she was so shocked by how the interior looked, because I'm like, Did you look at the outside of it? It matches.
I know. When they're singing, what's it? Yeah, it's over at the Frankenstein place is the song. Mm-hmm. I like that juxtaposition of, you know, them being like inspired and shit and seeing like, you know, there's a light, you know, hey, that's our invitation kind of in. And then like the mm-hmm. backing vocals, you know, say like over at the Frankenstein place. And it's like, no, that doesn't sound inviting.
No.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, you know, for all current Frankensteins. I don't know if that surname is still in existence, if it ever was.
I hope but so.
It's tough. You know, you're just kind of stuck with that a little bit. And then also doubly so, because it's Frankenstein's monster is the one you kind of got to worry about. Mm-hmm. Not Frankenstein, but, you know, what can you do? So, and then you've got Riffraff in the window just being all,
I know, just being a creep.
Just being a creep, all just like longing and being weird and shit. And like, what is Riffraff's deal? I don't get it. I like it. I dig his vibe, but I don't get it.
I love when he opens the door and he says to Janet, "You're all wet." I feel like they use that a couple times. Like,
and she's, you know, she's like,
"It's raining."
It's raining.
He's looking like, you know, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. So, you know, they get invited in. You meet Magenta. He's just letting everybody know how lucky they are. And Brad just wants a phone. He's like, look, I'm just going to call somebody. We're just going to let them know where we are.
Do we even know if they have a phone?
I don't think so.
I don't think there is a phone.
And they're like, okay. Yeah. So what's going on? They're talking about like, oh no, y'all showed up on a pretty big night. This is a good one for, you know, for our head of the house, our mm-hmm. master here, having a little soiree, you know? And then you think that they're going to explain something to you. You know, you think that they're going to be like, no, no, we'll give you some context. This is a song about the house and here's what we do and here's our situation. Nope. No. Now,
what is the song about? Tell me, please. Is it a dance? Is it about time travel? Is it about changing your mindset from being a normal person to like sexually like overcharged person? What is this fucking song about?
I don't know, but if I were Brad and Janet, I'd say after the first second line of the song, I'd be like, we're going.
We're just gonna walk our asses back to the car, spend the night.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Madness taking its toll. What is going on? I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, but that doesn't sound inviting.
I would have taken that coffin skeleton grandfather clock with me, though.
Yeah, I just picked it up and said, Janet, grab that. We're going.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
I forgot how early this song comes in, because it's only like, what, the third song, right? Fourth song, maybe? Yeah, I mean, it's a fucking banger. I knew the song well before I watched this movie, because it was on every, like,
very well known.
Every like Halloween compilation of spooky songs would have like this, it'd have Monster Mash, it'd have Ghostbusters, you know, and just a few of those. So it really made its way into like Halloween novelty staple, echelon, you know. Mm-hmm. And damn, it's a fucking banger. It fucks me up. It's good.
Yeah, it's very good.
And not to, I'll be really quick on the nerdiness of it, but just, I don't know, I've just always loved that change that they do in the chorus where it's like, you know, song's in the key of A, but then does the F, C, G, D, then back to the A.
There we go.
Because they do a similar change in the chorus of Suffragette City, which is super kick-ass and always sounds good and always sticks out. And then always that song Hush by Deep Purple, which always got to figure out a way to bring in. I Know What You Did Last Summer,
of but course. Like
that song, you know, there's a Kula Shaker cover of it. And that's how I learned that song, but it's a different key, but does that same exact chord change and build over the chorus. And I'm just like, fuck, just that those it's like fifths on top of each other. Shit fucks me up, you know, but it's such a powerful chorus and I love it.
I'm realizing now that this is like the first time, or only, I guess, the second time that we've talked about a movie that has like musical elements to it like this. And so y'all are going to get to hear Kyle nerd out a little bit on that and just lose me completely.
I'm not trying to go too deep into it. No, I was talking about spooky bongos the other week.
That's definitely more relatable.
Yeah. Those are terrifying bongos and sinister, though. And yeah, this movie, this song makes no fucking sense. So after
the dance, it's like, is easy. Like, you could learn that dance in the time of the song. Like, before the end of the song, you're doing the dance fully.
You know, it just always reminds me of weddings. And I'm surprised that this isn't played more at weddings.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm surprised it isn't played more at weddings, but also I don't care for songs that teach you the dance when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I dig that. Let me vibe how I vibe.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the only difference would be that one part in the Men in Black song when Will Smith is like dancing with the alien next to him.
Uh-huh.
And he talks you through it.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells you to slide. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the things.
And he tells you to make your neck work, but you don't, but that can be.
That could be many things.
you can do a lot of stuff to make that neck work, you know. Maybe that's the exception, but otherwise, I don't know. One more thing that I do really appreciate about the cast of this movie, and you see it a lot more, like, especially this is your first big song with all the chorus and everybody and all the backing singers and
the
all
Transylvanians.
That. Yeah, but I just love how diverse this cast is. I was like, they're all,
it's very
all
diverse.
Genders, all body types, you know, everyone's, you know, I don't know. I appreciated that diversity there.
Yeah.
Instead of it all just being like,
yeah, because your main cast is all white, but they throw a little bit out there.
And after this song, fucking, you know, Janet's like, what the fuck is this? You
can just fucking, like, know. Yeah, and, just like, we need to get the fuck out of here.
And Brad, again, I really identified with Brad because I think I would say the same thing. I
just like, we can't just leave. They're going to do something fucked.
I wasn't thinking that. He was just being like, look, they've got their foreigners with their folk songs.
And, I know. He said maybe they'll do another folk dance. Folk.
Yeah. Do y'all know the Madison? But yeah, just his like, aw shucks, like, everyone's got a different way of living, and this is just how they're having their party, whatever, mm-hmm. which again, very much kind of reminds me of Clue, even though again, Clue came out 10 years after this, mm-hmm. but that was like a weird, that was an even more fucked up party.
Yes. Yes, it was. You know,
yes, it was.
This is where it gets really good for me, because honestly, up until the time warp, like the first couple songs, I'm like, these are fine. Mm-hmm. And I like enjoy it. But then, the time warp like really ramps it up. You get to meet like all these like fun characters and hear a little bit about them and whatever the fuck they're talking about. And then Tim Curry enters the equation and wow, like what a fucking showstopper he is in this movie. But just that entrance, and I love Janet's reaction of her just screaming and fainting. that is super fun, because literally it's just a beautiful man in full face with the tallest, most glamorous heels, because we haven't even revealed the lingerie yet. Like, that's a cape.
Yeah. I know. As far as what I remembered of this movie, it was these two songs. It was Time Warp and Sweet Transvestite, which fuck, he owns it.
The singing is like just the, like Tim Curry's voice just makes me melt, like just completely melt. It's so beautiful. And again, it's the like that pause in the song where he just walks up to that water cooler and just takes that little cone cup, takes a sip, and then like splashes it at the camera and then like looks right into the camera. Shit like that, where I'm just like, only Tim Curry. Like, what an amazing job. It's so good.
I would assume he has, as my guess would be that he does this song each time there is a new group or a new couple coming, but he keeps it pretty flexible, a little loose with that verse, the second to last verse, where they're talking about like, our car broke down, like, and this and this and this, and he's gonna go get them a satanic mechanic or whatever. But
I love the satanic mechanic.
I was very impressed that he just came up with that verse just on the fly based on their situation they've had. He's like, oh, I can come up with a couple rhymes on this,
ad lib that.
Yeah, so
he was listening in like before the big entrance and was like thinking about what the lines were going to be.
Yeah.
I think the best part of, and like a well-known part of this song, is the way that he delivers the word anticipation.
Yeah,
with that pause, that is so good. Every time I hear it, I love it.
And he's just so good at that, like kind of like talk singing, that he's doing like in the verses with them, and you're just like, fuck, he is just like relishing in this. Mm-hmm. It's really good. He's like, hey, welcome, do y'all want to see my you want to see my fuck monster?
You're gonna come in the lab and see what's on the slab. It's a bunch of dick.
Yeah. And right, wasn't it Magenta or Columbia, I forget, who's like, dang, he never lets fucking people up.
Yeah,
there.
Columbia is like, wow, what an honor.
But I'm like, I'm pretty sure he lets everybody up there. He seems
I think
like the
so
type.
Too.
I'm sorry, he seems very unprofessional as a scientist. and seems to hold very poor emotional and physical boundaries with with other people. So I'm like, yeah, does he never bring anybody up there? But also I'm like,
no, the whole party goes. The whole
everybody's
party.
There.
Yeah, yeah, they're all up in the rafters. Fully clothed, like some of them.
Do you think he would want to unveil Rocky without an audience? Like, that just seems to be, Frankenfurter's like MO is the attention.
Everything is with an audience. Yeah. Yeah. It's a glamorous individual.
This is a very pink laboratory.
I love it. The pink tile, the pink marble. I love it.
Yeah. It's really
but you
good.
Passed one of the most important parts, which is Brad's underwear.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, they start getting all undressed after Time Warp.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Janet's underwear feel accurate to me.
Yeah.
Is that what tighty whities looked like in the 70s? Or are they like really over the top, like high rise? They look like they'd be sticking out of his pants.
Well,
right?
That's where you tuck your pants in. And well, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, women too also
you,
had
what
like
do you mean
very
tuck?
High.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Go back. You tuck your pants in?
To your. Yeah. Shut up. You tuck your shirt in, right? So it's probably covering that. Like, I don't know. Like, women at the time or even before, like, gosh, I feel like their underwear like covered their like belly buttons, you know?
I guess pants
pretty
came
high up.
I guess pants were coming up higher. I just think it's so funny that it covers so much of his like top area, and then the thinness of the fabric that is holding his dick is so. I lied. I did pause because I wanted to see how much of the outline you could see. And I was just like, huh, I wonder if that's what those actually looked like. But hey, shout out to Brad.
Yeah, dang, you're not hiding anything, Brad, dude. You're hey, fuck, man, good for you. So you're right, they do
get they stripped disrobe to their underwear. Them
they disrobe them, you
then
know.
We go to the beautiful pink lab
where he's very excited to share with everybody. Frankenfurter, by the way, excited to share with everybody, hey, guess what, I have created life, I've learned the secret to life. And I'm gonna fuck that life.
I was like, imagine figuring out the secret to creating a human being and being like, I'm gonna make them the most perfect fuckable specimen. That's the whole sole purpose.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Well, I mean, what else could you reasonably want it to do? You know what I mean? Like, you're right. You create this person, but like, I don't know.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like anytime someone is creating like or like reanimating things, it's maybe their motivations are kind of yucky
a little bit. And then you kind of there's like, where is you know, where does consent fall in any of that? And then if you were, and then it's just hard. I personally feel bad for Rocky.
I feel a little bad for Rocky, but I mean, he wouldn't have existed otherwise. So
I don't think he wants to exist. I mean,
song, he seemed pretty fucking happy once he was over there getting busy with Janet.
Well, maybe then, because he was also not being attacked by fucking dogs anymore. So
it is kind of weird because he's like kind of a child, but also a grown man and kind of attracted to people, but then kind of not. And then like ready to fuck. So Rocky's journey is short, but a lot happens.
A couple notes. I love his, you know, Frankenfurter just being like, oh, hey, I found the secret ingredient. It is this rainbow liquid machine that I'm milking, furiously milking into this vat. I love it.
And just beautiful rainbow water happens. And
oh, perfect! Perfectly layered
so
rainbow
perfectly,
water.
Yeah, just perfectly rainbow. It's so great. It's so gay. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that, you know, after his like, you know, his mummy situation gets unwrapped, you know.
And he's completely dry.
He's completely dry, for one, and then two, yeah, just that, just the gold undies and the gold boots.
Yes, I
it's
love that.
Great.
Yeah, where did that fit into the invention? Like, you know, before he was complete and wrapped up, I'm presumably cooking in there. Like, Frankenfurter was like, you need gold little undies and gold little booties. And they're going to look fantastic with your buff ass body. That man has like zero body fat.
The song, it's Sword of Damocles. I'm so sorry, everybody. But he like comes out singing about his life is Misery. It is. What did he say? I forget. You know, some,
I mean, he's
just...
like a Frankenstein's monster situation. Of course he's gonna feel that way. I don't even think
Yeah.
he can actually talk. He can only sing.
Yeah, it's like grunting if it's otherwise. So, but yeah, I just feel bad for this just little sex monster just because.
Well, then Tim Curry makes him feel a little bit better and gives those cute little candy wrapped looking weights and
Yeah.
sings one of the most wonderful songs in the whole movie.
I'll make you a man. Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a great one because Tim Curry again is just hamming it up. And whatever that fucking balance bar is that just
Yes.
looks like a giant dick, it looks like a giant dick.
And Curry's on top of it, just kind of like pulling himself,
Oh,
almost like
just
he's like
pulling
on a rowing
himself.
machine, but he's just like,
Oh,
it's
just
so good.
thrusting. Oh, yeah. It's so good. The legwork that he does on that is so fantastic. I also
And
like the
then.
interaction between Dr. Frankenfurter and Janet when he says, what do you think of him? And she says, oh, I don't like a man with too many muscles. Like looking back at like Brad all awkward. He's like, well, I didn't make him for you.
Yeah, no, I didn't make it for you, you fucking idiot. So get the fuck out of here. I don't care. And then also, you love the muscles. She even says later on, like,
She's
I
like,
love the muscles.
yeah.
Oh my gosh. But hey, good save, Janet. Because I would feel very just lesser than around. But I'd be like, I was not built to be a golden sex monster. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, like he was built for that. Like
Yeah.
it's said many times through song.
The loveliness has to end for a quick moment because we get introduced to Eddie.
Which is the plot that I don't understand at all. Please explain it to me, Kyle.
I don't know why you thought I was going to be able to do
Why did
that.
he smash through the wall? What was he a delivery boy of? And why X? And he has some relationship with Columbia. She's very excited to see him, but then gets
Yeah.
murdered.
He was experimented on by Frankenfurter
Okay.
and to be a, I think also a sex slave for him as well.
Hence the injuries on the forehead.
Yeah.
Okay,
And
okay.
right. So it didn't work. And he ended up just keeping him frozen with his motorcycle. I don't know why. They would allow, why we would do that.
Okay, that I did not catch at all. None of that. None of
Okay.
it. I thought he like rode in from the street and crashed this party,
No,
literally.
he had been frozen in that room or in that little
Well, how
that
did he
thing.
defrost?
I have no idea. I thought that's how what you're gonna have me answer. I was like, I fucking couldn't tell you.
No, I didn't even know the beginning part. So, wow, that flew over my head multiple times. Multiple times.
He busts through as Meatloaf does. Are you a Meatloaf fan?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, me too. He's
My
fun.
grandma
Rest in peace.
she was super into Meatloaf. So that's where I had
Really?
all that exposure. Oh, yeah. She loves dramatic love rock. Like,
That's pretty
so
fun.
yeah. That's how I learned about Meatloaf and his music.
So he pops out. And he's just fucking ready to go. And then he's singing Hot Patootie, which is a great song. That's a
It was
fun one
fun.
too.
Yeah.
I think just this fucking
Always
rock
just
and just
fun to hear him sing. And the saxophone. There's so much saxophone.
love saxophone. Love myself a good barn burner. It's great. And I was just thinking, man, he's just singing songs about just longing for the days of, Saturday nights and saxophones and when he wasn't having piece of his brain removed.
The
Just
little things, the simple joys in life.
the simple things. And again, it kind of shows, well, one, Frankenfurter's like, hey, I kept you in there, so for a reason. So I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then
Now that
also you
makes
could
more sense. Okay.
And it shows again just how immediately jealous Frankenfurter gets. Just because all the attention is now on Eddie and everyone's singing along with him. You just see Frankenfurter in the back just fucking pouting, being fucking like, fuck this motherfucker. Dude, it just grabs a fucking pickaxe
Which is also a very negative and small-minded opinion of transgender people as well, is that they just want attention and they want people to just focus on them. And that's why they, you know, choose a different gender. Like, that's the narrative there. So I don't know if that was intentional, but that's kind of something that I read as well, because I've heard that narrative a lot of, like, they just want attention, which is completely outrageous.
And just everyone just screaming and crying.
The pickaxe, all the blood. Oh,
all it's good. The blood. It's so good. And then he fucking Rocky's like, what the fuck? You know? But Frankenfurter's just, I love, he goes to him and says, oh, it was a mercy killing. He had a naive charm, but no muscle. Like, yeah, that's why I had to kill him.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it was pretty great. On. Yeah, put him out of his misery.
And yeah, just fucking. And then also I noticed even Janet was giving some eyes to Eddie too.
Yeah. Oh, she was totally like totally looking at it. Janet went from wanting nothing but to be married to wanting to just fuck everybody.
Yeah.
She was like, I respect that. But, you know, like, I love how quickly she was just like, fuck it. I don't need to be somebody's wife. Like, I'm gonna fuck all y'all.
I think if you gave her the full night without all that other shit going down, I think she would have made her way through the house.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she would have had a great time.
Okay, so Rocky and Frankenfurter get married, I think?
No, I don't think that's what's happening. I think that is their version of making it official. And what is the word? Consummating? Like, yeah. Consummating this, like, union. It's not marriage. But it's this beautiful, just this beautiful ceremony where they go up these stairs to this bed that has monogrammed pillows for both of them. There's an R for Rocky and an F for Frankenfurter. And that last shot before the curtain closes of Tim Curry jumping up on Rocky is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I love it so much. So yeah, I'm assuming that they then fuck, but they're not married. It's like, again, I wonder if that is like a parody on, like, whatever, marriage. Like, we just want to fuck. Like, let's make it official that way, instead.
I don't like how he's just chained to the bed. I mean, like, maybe it started as for sexy reasons, I suppose. But like I said, y'all, listen.
Always
to our
leave one hand free.
Listen to our. I was about to say Pet Cemetery. Sorry. Listen to our Puppet Master episode. Keep a hand free. Always keep just one hand free. Look, I get it. It's, you're not going full, you know, but you just be safe, everybody. So he just leaves, you know, fucking, and I guess it didn't last long, because he, you know, leaves Rocky chained to the bed and is making his way to the other rooms. Brad and Janet get shown to their rooms, two separate rooms. And
which is even more hilarious, because in a situation like this, you'd think they'd be like, oh yeah, y'all should just stay in the same room. But obviously the intention behind that was, you know, for Frankenfurter to creep his way in.
Which, little upsetting at first.
I think I texted you in that moment when I was watching that scene, because I was like, oh, I found Kyle's cringe moment. I do think they do a really good job of making it like comedic with the way he delivers the same lines to Brad as he does to Janet, and like the over the top like voice changing, like he comes in with Brad's voice and it's Brad, like the body shape is Brad, the hair, all of it, and then all of a sudden it's the wig snatching, and that, it's so funny that I forgive it. I think it plays out really funny. I think the humor is really good. And it definitely gives bad mixed signals of like, oh, like maybe she'll like it if you just do it. So that's not true. But I like the way these scenes play out, especially when they do it again with Brad. And you hear Tim Curry mid-sentence, like, put dick in mouth. I don't know if you noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
By this point, Rocky's broken out. And the other thing I skipped over a little bit is...
Oh, yeah, he breaks out in between.
as soon as Rocky's born, per se, a little bit of animosity with maybe some jealousness, I don't know, but some definitely animosity coming from Riff Raff, wanting to cause some shit, you know.
Yeah.
And which we find out later will be a little bit of a mutiny with a new fun little haircut. It's also the hunchback on fun little spacesuit. But yeah, he causes this, you know, for Rocky to break out. Well, because first he's like, yeah, he fucking just grabs the candles out of nowhere and just starts, you know, a very Frankenstein monster kind of thing, kind of not quite a pitchfork, but the candelabra, you know, with the fire, you know. Yeah,
kind of like a torch.
Yeah. And I do love when he's escaping and Riff Raff's like kind of going after him. Rocky goes down the elevator.
Why did they release the dogs?
To go after Rocky.
I know, but he said Magenta released the dogs. And I'm like, but why would you do that if you know that Frankenfurter, like, is, like, Rocky's precious to him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the same thing, whatever happened with Eddie, right? It's just like, you know, it turns out it doesn't work. Never mind. Fuck him. Freeze him. You know, whatever. Yeah. I did like when Rocky was trying to, you know, going down the elevator, escaping from the lab. Fucking Riff Raff just like takes one of the candles and just like throws it down there at him. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I did also like when they were just that part leading up to it, when it's just like Magenta and Riff Raff. Magenta's just mopping after kind of everything that happened prior. And I was like, man, it's nice to get those kind of quiet moments in the house of like just doing housework.
Just,
you know,
normal things.
Just normal shit. And they're like, oh yeah, we have this, you know, Frankenstein man chained to this bed. Let's go address that. But yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's cameras all over that connect to these little TVs. So everyone can kind of see a little bit everything that's going on.
Very advanced technology.
I, Janet, with everything that's been going on, and I mean, you had sex with Frankenfurter. I don't think she needs to get that upset seeing Brad. One, it was after the fact. He was just sitting having a cigarette. You never know. Maybe it was just two friends in bed having a cigarette together. One. And then two, she knew, but I was like, I wouldn't get that upset with Brad if I'm like, okay, look, we'll call it even then. Because it looks like we were both clearly taken advantage of by this person, right? Or whatever.
I mean, lean into it. Then maybe the three of you. Like, why not?
There you go. Yeah. And then, but her answer then is like, well, I'm just going to go fuck Rocky then.
Yeah. She's down to fuck. Like, whole breaking out into song and everything. And some of the lines in that song are amazing. Seat Wedding? Susan Sarandon in falsetto? It's so great.
I don't know why I thought that was going to be the one that you're going to say, like, isn't the song that you liked.
Oh, I love that song. Oh my gosh. Okay. That was actually my favorite song the first time I watched it, because I think that's when everybody like was much more quiet finally. But I really enjoy that song, and I really like Magenta and Columbia watching, and like their like backup vocals are really fun. And just like the little details of like what they're doing, like just in their free time. Like, so Magenta has like the hair dryer. She's just like, it explains like how her hair looks. Like, she's just heat damaging her hair just for no reason. She's not going anywhere. And the way that they like act out, you know, they're very sexual and playful with each other. I think that's super fun. Yeah. So I really like it. Even though Rocky feels very childlike, which is for me the creepiest thing of the movie. Like, it just feels like everyone's just taking advantage of him. But I mean, looking the way he does, I would too. So, you know, it's I like that song. I like the whole thing.
We learned that Dr. Scott's arrived, which is a weird way to kind of frame all of this, because I'm sure both sides are like, wait, you know, like, what the fuck's Dr. Scott doing here?
Yeah, like, how Brad? Do you know him?
And Dr. Scott's like, what the fuck are you doing here, Brad? You know,
how did you get there, Dr. Scott? Who drove you?
I have no idea. He was a high school biology teacher and is now.
We're sure that it was high school and not college.
Pretty sure it was high school.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe not. I don't know. But he is either way, but now he is studying UFOs for the FBI, I suppose, as you do. And he learned his, and is also the uncle of Eddie.
Yes.
So small world, huh?
Strange, but okay. If he's studying UFOs for the FBI, maybe he's like a Mulder situation, you know? The crew. Yeah, it is. It's interesting the way that they, oh, and also this brings in Tim Curry. Every time Tim Curry has a wardrobe change, I'm here for it. That leather jacket. Love I would it. Kill for that leather jacket. It is absolutely stunning and beautiful and probably gigantic. But yeah, I love that leather jacket so much. So I had to give that a little shout out. Yeah. Dr. Scott is, confusing to me, but he is funny. He's got some fun things, but his song is my least favorite when they're at dinner. That's my least favorite song.
Oh, well, and that makes sense, because if you didn't know a whole lot about Eddie, that's when they're describing Eddie.
Well, it's also the melody and like the flow of the song that I don't super enjoy. Like it doesn't measure up to the other ones for me.
I love that they're just kind of arch nemesis is like that. Nemesis.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So it's very
they'll still have dinner together.
Yeah. So it's like a very like Dracula Van Helsing kind of situation. Uh-huh. That I think maybe they were trying to play into a little bit. And, you know, and then as, you know, everyone's heading down, of course, then everyone finds Janet and Rocky.
Which is so great.
And then that just ridiculous, overlong. Brad, Janet,
Dr. Rocky. Scott.
And but every time it went to Rocky, Rocky wouldn't say, didn't say anything, but just like glared it at fucking Frankenfurter.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. I feel like this is when the acting like goes from like a 10 to an 11. Like they really start ramping it up here too. World's most awkward dinner.
I know. I do also, forgot when, I don't know why they're even trying to like feign that they're not, you know, that they're not from Earth. But when, you know, Dr. Scott shows up and he's the front door and, you know, they're watching him through the TV and Riff Raff's like, do you know this earthling? I mean, person.
Yeah. I wrote that down too. Because the way he says it, he just kind of like looks off to the side.
Person. Yeah. It's fucking Frankenfurter gives him this like, bro.
Like, can you be cool?
We've been playing normal so well all night. And I can't let you calling someone an earthling fuck the whole thing up. Everything's been super by the book and everything's been very, you know, we've kept this shit close to the chest all night. Don't ruin this for us. So a very awkward dinner considering everything is going on right now. I think some relationships are frayed, I think, that to say mm-hmm. the least.
Another wardrobe change.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, fuck, Tim Curry's so cool.
And that cute little birthday hat.
I love how he sings happy. Well, he starts singing happy birthday. He doesn't even let them finish the song. And he's like, okay, on to it. Okay, next. And I love just the delivery when Dr. Scott's like, you know, like, I'm here to talk about Eddie. And Frankenfurter's like, Eddie's a real tender subject. Because he's talking about the meat. I love it.
I did not catch that either. Is Eddie the dinner?
Oh my God. Yes.
No.
We're eating Eddie.
We are fucking kidding.
Oh my God, Natalie, you need to watch this movie again.
Is this my Valentine?
Well, first of all, so there's the whole song about Eddie that they sing. Yeah. So you missed all that context, which also I'm like, you know, give Eddie, poor Eddie, a break. He just likes drugs. He likes rock. He likes porn and he likes motorcycles. Does that make him like the worst?
Does that make him meatloaf?
Yeah. So come on. And then honestly, after this song, you know, it's like, does Dr. Scott like Eddie that much? He talks a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So And then, you know, if anything, you know, Frankenfurter is just like, oh, well, hey, bro, well, funny you mentioned that, because I mean, I killed him and fed him to you. Yeah, he pulls out the top of the table and you see Eddie's corpse and all the.
Okay, I guess that makes sense because he's missing so many pieces. Now that's all coming together. Damn. Do we see anyone else take a bite other than Rocky's going to town on it?
I think other people were taking some bites.
Okay, so hence the reaction. I just thought it was because there was a corpse in the table.
Yeah. And then
okay.
Janet, of course, runs to... It's funny, Janet runs to Rocky, and you think it's going to be fucking Brad that gets jealous, but it's fucking Frankenfurter again.
Yeah.
Being like, the fuck?
Yeah, get the fuck off my man.
Oh my God, let me get my fucking, you know... What's it? I don't even know how that statue machine works. You just have to kind of, yeah.
I love that it's called Medusa. It turns them into nice little statues.
Not very anatomically correct statues, by the way. If you're judging off, not that I was looking too hard, but if you're judging off Brad's underwear,
I thought that they get. Oh yes, yes, you're right. I because the. Did the women have like leaves or is that bush?
I thought it was bush.
Oh, see, I thought it was like little, like cute little leaves.
But there's a little dick on Brad.
No, there's definitely a dick. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Okay. I'm sure you saw that. Yeah.
I did.
looked first. But I was like, oh, hey, man, the statue, be a little kinder to Brad. I mean, like, yeah. I'm only just going off existing evidence. I am not here. Yes. Macking on anybody.
So apparently I wasn't the only one pausing.
Yeah, again, just fucking lime green jello just turns everyone into statues. And then, you know, like, yeah, if you've got everyone turned into statues, you know, you wonder, like, why wouldn't you dress them up, put some makeup on them, and just have a fun little cabaret situation?
Yeah.
I saw that there's other statues in the house and in the lab. I wonder if those are people.
Oh, those are people for sure.
Definitely
those are
people.
People who did not get to do their cabaret.
No, so it's kind of like a House of Wax situation where you realize all the statues are actually people.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, probably all of those statues are real people.
A pretty fun cabaret situation when he unfreezes them all, each of them doing their dances. I still think the MVP in this situation is Brad.
Brad's pretty good. It feels almost as if he could not walk in those heels and they were like, you know what if we just lean into that for the choreography and just really kind of trip around in them, then we're gonna have you like drop to the floor, which looked beautiful. And it's the leg lift and then the shaking, like as it goes down, is, gosh, probably one of my favorite like dance moves in this whole movie. His long legs, 6'4", Brad. Yes, and we're assuming that the Medusa statuing like process turns them into this, like these cabaret dancer slaves. Like I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand how he's still controlling them that way after unfreezing them. But, you know, we're getting in the final stretch of this movie. Don't ask questions now.
Weird. It gets so weird here. But halfway through this song, it's like an 8-minute track, like the whole thing. When Tim Curry appears,
it's like three different songs, kind of.
Yeah.
Rose Tint My World. Don't Dream It, Be It, which might be my favorite of the three. I don't know. And then Wild and Untamed Thing is the third one. I'm reading this off right now.
Well, the first two ones they have as one track on the soundtrack that I listen to, at least.
And then they have that fun little pool party, just swimming around each other and shit. And that's when Riff Raff and Magenta show up.
Looking badass in their alien costumes with those thigh-high stockings and harnesses. I love it.
I know. I like Riff Raff's little
the hair change
thing on his head. I love that. And, you know, he doesn't have the hunch. So, you know, so it's, you know, it's nice to be able to stand up straight a little bit, you know, so that's nice, you know, without that, you know, weighing on him. So that's good. But yeah, they're like, this is a mutiny, motherfucker. We've got our laser guns, dude. We're going to kill the shit out of you. Sorry. we will not be pawns in, which I'm like, I don't know what took everybody that long.
I know. Like what?
This dude's fucking Frankenfurter's unhinged.
Like, yeah, I am done mopping this lab.
And they're just like, sorry, dude, you are too extravagant. We're just gonna fucking end this. The thing is, you're just too messy, my guy, and you are leaving trails, and this just acting fucking just all heart all the time, and all heart and all ego all the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, dude, we're just gonna fucking end this. We're gonna end you, and we're heading back to Transylvania. So,
but there's a lot of just really strange choices in this ending. Mm-hmm. And I will say it's the only part of the movie that really drags for me. I feel like it's a little bit longer than it needs to be. Whether it be the musical parts or the dialogue, I feel like all of it feels a little bit long. But visually, I think it's really fun. I really enjoy in Frankenfurter's last song, the like wet smeared makeup. There's something mm-hmm. about like full makeup that's like smeared that I find like really beautiful. And I really enjoy that. Yeah. The audience like appearing and disappearing is like really fun to look at. But like, again, what the fuck is happening? They climb up what looks like a radio tower, him and Rocky, like King Kong style.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you've got so many, you know, obviously the Frankenstein parallel, right? But also kind of the Dracula bits that I'd mentioned, and then mm-hmm. the King Kong, and so, you know, I mean, I know they were very intentionally trying to parody different like sci-fi movies and B movies and stuff like that, but I don't know, integrating all those horror elements, I thought was pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
I love this gun that he has, this like little like, kind of like trident situation.
I know. It almost looks like a trident. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool. I dig it.
Like you'd use it under the sea.
So where are we at? Gosh, I feel like everything kind of just...
Like that's the end. And then they take off in the house. The whole last castle, and Brad and Janet and Dr. Scott are just left in the dirt.
What a fucking trip. And then that... I guess we're there. I guess we're at the end of the movie already, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's on the background right now, and I'm just looking back. Dang, when the makeup's all kind of off and everything, you just have Brad and Janet like both in those costumes and the matching ones. Fuck, they look great. That's a good couple's costume.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's probably a million different great costumes, you know, just Halloween mm-hmm. costume ideas from this movie, and I'm sure plenty of people do it, you know.
Oh yeah.
So. We're at the end. Anything you want to touch base on before we start wrapping up and talking about our boost scores?
No, I think we covered all pretty the thorough. Things. Yeah, we're pretty thorough with this one.
Do you have a favorite song? I think I mentioned this. Is it touch me?
Did I say that right? That used to be my favorite. I like the 7 days to make you a man.
Yeah,
I really like that one. And I like Don't Dream It, Be It.
Love it.
I love that. What's your favorite?
I don't know. I mean, I did like the Meatloaf song, even though it's pretty basic. Dang, it's hard to say. I think I'll Make You a Man as well, I think is a good one. It's just so
Tim Curry like really sells it.
Yeah. And the choreography of it all is so much fun.
Yeah, the lyrics are really fun.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Let's hop into our next segment, taglines.
Taglines. All right. This one has an interesting situation for taglines.
Okay.
It has 11 total.
Okay.
But 6 of them are from when the movie was originally released. And then the other 5 are from like anniversary, like DVDs and things. So they made new taglines like as they re-released things. And I think this might be like one of the best sets of taglines out of most of the movies we've ever done.
I will accept it.
So do you want me to only do the original ones?
Well, start with the original ones. Those are the ones that at least right now I will take into official review of the six original ones. But okay. I would like you to share with me the additional five.
Okay. Yeah. No, I have them in that order. So you're in luck.
Wonderful. Oh, okay. Just like we're all in luck. You're in luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all in luck. Okay. So obvious one, don't dream it, be it. That's the only one that's sweet.
Aww.
I like this one. Action-packed, lots of laughs and sex, gorgeous gals, thrills and chills, Transylvanian parties, romance.
That's pretty good. Thumbs up.
The whole movie.
Yeah.
In a tagline. A different set of jaws.
That's good.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Love it.
Give yourself over to absolute pleasure. That's fun.
That's a fun one too.
He's the hero. That's right. The hero. Look at that one.
Okay.
That was kind of strange.
Yeah.
This one's fun. Another kind of Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, I like that one too. Cause I mean like what? So Jaws came out a couple years prior.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Rocky came out after this movie.
Me too. I thought it was
76 or 77, the same year as Star Wars, which is 76.
Maybe they came out at the same time.
It could be. I don't know. But yeah.
So those are your official six.
Okay.
All
pretty good, honestly.
Except for the hero one. I don't get it. Maybe that was like a poster that specifically had Brad on it.
Maybe.
Then you've got the 25th anniversary tagline, which is 25 years of absolute pleasure.
Okay. That's 1999.
Sure. Yeah. That's math. Yeah. The 1990 video cassette release. Is
oh, I thought that was the tagline. That's no. Like thumbs up.
No, that's what the tagline is for. So yeah. I'm going backwards in chronological order here, apparently. No, it's all over the place. I'm going all over the place. The anticipation is over.
Love that.
Then we have the 15th anniversary VHS. So see, I'm doing these completely out of order.
Okay.
Let there be light. Let there be laughter. Let there be legs. Let there be lust. Let there be lips.
Yeah, okay.
They all start with L. I'll take it.
Yeah, sure.
Then we have, okay, this is another 1990 video release. Dream it in your living room. Be it in the theater. So they're trying to promote you like going to see it in the theater as well.
I guess
so. And fucking throw rice on everybody.
Yeah, who has to clean up after all that?
Yeah, I mean, you worked in a movie theater. Did you ever have to clean up after those clowns or what?
Yeah, well, you know, not in a movie theater that showed that movie in particular, but
okay.
We definitely, if people were fucking slobs, though, you know, mm-hmm. and leave their shit all over the place. That's why, like, when I leave a movie theater, like, I bring my fucking shit with me and throw it out. There are people who just expect, no, there's people going to clean up after me.
Yeah, no, you should throw it away. Yeah, you should all throw away your stuff because... If everyone does it, then there's less to clean because they're still going to have to sweep popcorn off the floor because no matter how hard I try, those maybe don't fill the popcorn so high.
Yeah.
I'm a messy eater.
They're going to charge you like $13 for it, you know?
I'll pay an extra dollar for them to fill it less.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting business model, but yeah.
There's one last one and it's not super exciting. This is for specifically just for the UK. A musical dream come true.
That sounds like a very like a Wizard of Oz situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. There's some good ones. I think that actually has some of the best collection, like overall of taglines. Like
Another set of Jaws. I think that Jaws is pretty good,
I
pretty
like
bad,
that one.
pretty
Yeah.
great. Do you want to go first with my boost score?
Yeah, you go first.
Cool. This sounds good.
You're ready?
I don't know. Yeah, this movie's, yeah. I was like, am I the audience for this movie? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm someone that likes to have fun, right? So how, yeah, I am.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think the cast is great. I think the songs are great. I love the aesthetic. I really appreciate this movie a lot more than I did when I was younger.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just hard. It's like, it's a fucking classic, and the bangers are bangers, and it, the shit's really funny, and it does have some horrifying elements, I suppose. I don't know. I'm gonna give it four booze. I really liked it, and I intend on not letting it go for so long before I watch it again.
I agree.
I don't know if that's too high. That was on the high range of what my boost score was going to be for this, but yeah, four booze. I fucking loved it. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, I agree. This watch for me was my favorite watch so far. I feel like age and maybe just watching more movies in between the last time I had seen it, like made the jokes really like land for me. Like I feel like I actually caught all of them, whereas before I don't know that I caught everything. So I feel like if I watched it again, I would notice more things that maybe I hadn't noticed. Because the second time I watched it this week, I was looking a lot in the background and at like the, looking at Riffraff and Magenta when Tim Curry was talking and things like that. And like all of their reactions to what he's saying are so good and so fun. I was also going to give it a four. And I think I'm going to drop my score down just a little. I'm going to do 3.5. And the reason why is because you chose four. No, I'm just kidding. because I want to give it more time to grow and breathe. Because I really enjoyed it, but I could see this movie actually becoming like a favorite for me. And watching it more, but I didn't want to jump to giving it a four because I do hold four, that like rewatching. Like if I keep rewatching things, then they go into like four or five for me. So I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Love it. Cool. Anything else you want to say about Rocky Horror Picture Show before we wrap things up?
No, just that Tim Curry looks so incredible. Just so incredible, this whole movie. So sexy. I love a man in full makeup and lingerie. Like, that is like one of the sexiest things. And the way that he moves,
Yeah.
stop it. Ah, Tim Curry. Yeah, that's the only thing I had.
Industry legend.
Industry legend, Tim Curry.
Yeah, dang, that's all I have. Can't guarantee that we're gonna be when the next time we'll do another spooky musical, but we just I like stretching out our legs. I like trying something a little different. So
Yeah,
I
that
hope
was
this
fun.
was, oh yeah, good. I hope it was as fun for you as it was for me, watching this movie. And I hope I'm fucking y'all listening. Hope you enjoyed that shit too.
Yeah,
All right.
something different.
All right, everybody, take care. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on the Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. You can find us on Instagram at 321 Ghost Pod and give us a follow to see what we're up to. And we'd love to hear from you in the comments. You can also shoot us an email to 321ghostpod@gmail.com to share any comments, questions, or suggest a movie you'd like to hear us chat about. Next week, we're slashing back into our Scream series with Scream 2022, or as we like to call it, Scream 5. I'd like to give a special shout out to my fantastic co-host Kyle for creating and performing the 321 Warp theme song. Thanks again for listening, and remember, don't dream it, be it. 3, 2, 1, ghost.